Welcome to another episode of the Barrel Chat Podcast, where we provide an unfiltered look into the craft beer industry from the untrained palates of two dumbass outsiders. I am Matthew Muncy, flying solo this week for the Friday 4-pack, as Dustin was unable to join me today. So before we jump into the four topics, you can follow us on Instagram. We are at Barrel Chat. That's where we literally post everything. We did just start a TikTok. However, that's just reposts of Instagram reels and stuff like that for the time being. So nothing really to see there. We'll let you know if we actually do anything with that. If you love our podcast, please take a moment to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast app. That does, you know, help us reach more listeners thanks to all the algorithms and stuff like that. We'd also love to hear from you. If you got a particular beer that you would like for us to review, shoot us a DM on Instagram, send us an email. We are at barrelchatpodcast@gmail.com, and let us know. If you are new to the Friday 4-pack, this episode consists of four different topics. First is what we've been drinking, any of the places that we've hit over the last week, typically two news stories, and then a little bit about what's happening around Indiana and the beer world. So throughout the week, we try and find different events or beer releases, stuff like that. We don't find them all. We apologize. So if you got something that you see, hey man, just let us know. We want to try and help everybody get that information. Topic one is what we've been drinking. Dustin did send over some notes, so that way I could mention this. He tried Daredevil's new indie premium lager. It's 5% crisp, full body. Gorgeous malt flavor, all U.S. malt. Nice, bright finish. I don't know if he wrote that or if that was a tagline from Untappd. He said, I would totally consider this my top go-to crispy from Indiana. Would keep in the fridge for float days, aka like floating down a river type thing. And a garage working beer. Looking to replace your Bud Light, do it with this beer. I think a lot of people are looking to replace their Bud Light stupidly right now, but that's for a different day. So that's what he's kind of been doing. I know we haven't really got out and about this week. It's been kind of a crazy week, family-wise and stuff like that for the both of us. So been a little busy, but for myself, last weekend, I went to Taxman up in Fortville. Absolutely love that place. And I had their deadline flight. So Death and Taxes was the April 22nd. I wasn't able to go, but they had a full flight. It was 5 2-ounce pours of the original and then four different variants that they had. I took some notes because I wanted to kind of let people know what I thought at least. And obviously, I would say try them all. This is a great flight. It was like $10. Totally worth it for all five to try them out. And then I believe, if I remember correctly, they had them in cans. So they're little 12-ounce cans. The originals were a four pack for $20. The four variants were all two packs for $20. So you got to really like those variants, in my opinion, for that to be worth $20 for, you know, 24 ounces of beer. It'd be different if they were 16-ounce cans. That I could see, but $20 for 24 ounces, a bit steep, unless you really, really like something. So I'll start here with the original. It's the Imperial Bourbon Barrel Stout, 14.2%. It drinks big. It drinks big. Nice mix of, you know, dark chocolate, roasted malt, some coffee. The bourbon really does shine through on this. I got to be honest with you, this is one of my favorite bourbon barrel stouts that I've had this year. Like, I need to go get this and bring it on the show because I think it's easily a top 10 specialty beer. I think it could crack top 5 in my opinion. Definitely worth it. I think the 4-pack for $20 might even be too cheap. Just being honest with you, it's just that good. They've nailed basically the base beer of what all the variants are for. So the first variant was toasted coconut. So this was also 14.2, the same bourbon barrel stout. All they did was throw some coconut, toasted coconut in it, from what I can tell. I didn't get a lot of that coconut. It was there, sort of on the back end, but it was, from what I had, it was more of a hint instead of a, obviously you don't want full in your face. And I know that toasted coconut doesn't have like a huge profile to it, but there just wasn't a lot of difference between this and the original. Like, I didn't really get as much coconut as I was kind of hoping for, especially not enough for me to say I'd be willing to drop $20 on two cans of it. There just wasn't, for me personally, there wasn't enough difference between that and the original. The second one was orange chocolate. This was hit or miss with me. So again, same bourbon barrel stout, 14.2%. Great stout flavor. The orange chocolate flavor I enjoy a lot because I really like those chocolate oranges that they always sell at Christmas time. Dustin said he's not about those. That's a big plus for me is those. So I like this flavor. I felt like it didn't necessarily mix well with the bourbon. And just the orange kind of side of it. I don't know. Like, it just didn't have a great flavor profile between the bourbon and the orange. This, in my opinion, would be much better as just an orange chocolate imperial stout. Like, make the imperial stout, leave it out of the bourbon barrel. You got a big winner on your hands, at least for me. I just feel like that bourbon just didn't mix well with the orange. That was my only negative with it. I would not personally buy the two cans of it for $20. I just didn't like it enough, but you know, somebody's out there going to probably like it. The third one I had was their double barrel. So this was an Imperial Rye Bourbon Barrel Stout. So from what I can guess, because I didn't see any literature on it, they obviously did the Imperial Bourbon Barrel Stout. Then they took it and aged it again in a rye bourbon barrel. 14.7%. Hot damn. Spoiler alert, best of the bunch. The stout itself, the Imperial Stout that they have brewed, is so fucking good. You added additional bourbon flavor to it, which just chef's kiss or brewer's kiss or whatever you want to call it in this world. That rye adds like this nice little spice note to it. Man, I wanted more of this. I couldn't because I was driving, but I wanted so much more of it. I didn't buy cans. I need to go back and get them. I'm hoping that they still got some this next time I get paid so I can go back, and I'd like to get that and the original so that way we can have them on the show, because I think they're worth bringing on the show. That's the one that 2 for $20, no doubt about it, 100% worth it. If you guys like rye, there's not a ton of rye. Because I'm hit or miss with rye because of the spice at the back end. This was like just the perfect amount of rye. And that extra little bit of bourbon really, really made it great. The only negative, it's a little hot. It's that alcohol is a little hot on the front end. That's it. But it's like, it's a smidge. This, we're not talking something that needed to be cellared for another 2 years, you know, like some of these that we get. This one was like, I bet if, I don't know what kind of aging it's going to do in a can, but I would almost bet if you let that sit for a couple more months, that's going to be a sweet spot. The last one I had, I was honestly a little bit excited for, because I usually like them, but this was their maple vanilla. And for some reason, it was 15.1%. I don't know what caused it to jump so much higher, because it didn't say that it was, you know, the double barrel with maple vanilla, unless I just completely missed it. But when I was doing my notes and stuff, that didn't come up. The maple really does shine in this one. It's got a good sweet flavor. It's not overpowering whatsoever, but it's definitely got a good sweetness to it. The vanilla missed with me. It just, it was kind of like the orange. It didn't really seem to mesh well with the bourbon. So I'd be kind of curious to see how that one would age in a can too, because like if that vanilla maybe goes away a little bit, I don't know. That one just, the vanilla just wasn't there for me. I don't know what else to say with that one. I think it was okay. Again, not one that I would buy in the two pack. I didn't like it enough, but I think they got something there. Maybe it was just the vanilla that was used, because we've had plenty of vanilla in Imperial Stouts on the show, and it typically isn't bad, but I think maybe just whatever bourbon that they use maybe just didn't mesh well. I don't really know the best way to explain it outside of just that vanilla and that bourbon didn't mix for me. That was it. So shout out to Taxman. You made a damn good Imperial Bourbon Barrel Stout. You made a damn good Imperial Rye Bourbon Barrel Stout. And the other three, there are plenty of people out there who are going to like those. They just didn't hit the spot for me, but that's okay. It's what's great about beer is there's something for everyone. Topic two, diving into the news here. So the Inside Indiana Business had an article about the 2023 Best of Craft Beer Awards competition, which was held in Bend, Oregon. Indiana had three different breweries bring home medals from this competition. We had Sun King Brewery, who won a gold medal in the golden or blonde ale category with Sunlight Cream Ale. Duh. Still amazing. And then they also earned a silver medal in the spontaneous fermentation and mixed culture beer category with its Barrel Strawberry. I feel like I had this one at Winterfest, but I don't remember it. And this is a play on Daryl Strawberry, if anyone's wondering what that name means. Former Mets MLB player. So I would like to try that one again, because I bet that would be fun. But I feel like they had it at Winterfest. Maybe I missed that one. Maybe that one was out when I went there. Because, yeah, that's right, because I had their mild ale, which was really good. And I think this one was maybe out at that point. Taxman Brewing also brought home a gold medal in the strong Belgian ales for the qualified beer that they make. That qualified is damn good. Damn good. So definitely worth that gold medal in my opinion. And then Moontown Brewing, who's been all over the map lately with just medals and being recognized as like top brewery kind of places and in different publications. They won a bronze medal in the rare and historical beers category for La Lune Bière. So I have to imagine that is, I didn't look it up and I should have. It's me just forgetting, but got to imagine that is some kind of like French, Belgian style, maybe farmhouse Saison type of beer. But either way, I would love to try all of these. I mean, everybody's had cream ale and I've had qualified. They make several different versions of qualified too, but definitely would like to try the Barrel Strawberry and this La Lune Bière from Moontown. So that's cool, though. That's cool to see people outside of, you know, Sun King getting recognized. I think that's huge for Moontown Brewing, because I think they're on, it's dumb to say they're on the come up, but I still feel like they're not as widely known. Maybe they are, and maybe they are, but I feel like in my circle, not too many people know about Moontown, because Whitestown is so far away from, you know, the south side of Indy, where I grew up and where a lot of my friends are. And you just don't hear about it because you're not getting a lot of their beer. I don't ever see their beer at like Meijer or anything. I think you have to buy it there. So, you know, they're not out and about distribution wise. I don't know if they get put on at any kind of bars or anything like that keg wise. So, you know, this is good to get their name out there and let people know, get up to Whitestown, worth the drive. Even if it's like an hour, great food, great beer. You're not going to be disappointed with that one. Topic three, we have from the Detroit Free Press. Founders has closed their Detroit tap room permanently. Now you're probably thinking to yourself, who the fuck cares? And you're right. This was sort of a non-story. until later that afternoon. So this all popped off on Monday, May 1st. They sent out a press release. It got picked up in the newspapers, and it was like, hey, Founders has closed their tap room, Detroit tap room, for good, citing an ever-changing craft beer market coupled with the struggle to regain foot traffic after temporary COVID-19 closures. In a roundabout way, blaming COVID for closing. This is a pretty common thing to do just in the business world right now, is to blame everything on COVID. I'm sure there is some expectation to that. I'm sure some of that is real. I know me personally, I've made a lot of changes to my lifestyle thanks to, you know, not thanks to COVID, but because of COVID. You know, like, you got used to doing certain things. You're not maybe going out as much as you used to. You can't really get beer delivered to your home very easily, like, you know, stuff like that, where you may just not be going out very much. And, you know, as a tap room, you need people in that tap room drinking, not just coming in to buy beer and then leaving. You want people in there drinking, eating, different stuff like that. That tap room had opened in 2017. It had closed briefly for 3 months during a lawsuit back in 2019, where a person had claimed that they were being, racially discriminated against. People were using the N-word towards them. Different allegations like that. That lawsuit, you know, caused them to shut down for 3 months to get it all sorted out. That one eventually got settled outside of court. Well, later on Monday, May 1st, it came out that 2.5 hours before Founders announced the closure of the Detroit taproom, someone else had filed a lawsuit against the company for racial discrimination at the Detroit taproom location. So this is why it's in the news now. This is why we bring it up. Because here we are again, a company. Basically, this is what you're known for now. You're known for good beer and racial discrimination that is apparently running rampant at least one location that is now gone. But the first lawsuit from 2019 alleged that it was also happening in other places too, in other locations. I think the Grand Rapids, their main location, it was happening in. So in a lawsuit filed on Monday, Miss Dillard, I do not know how to pronounce that first name. I'm not going to try, because that is not fair to her, alleges that after nearly 2 years of working for the brewery in Detroit, the work environment became so objectively racially hostile that she had no choice but to resign last week. She alleges the harassment included coworkers intentionally mispronouncing her name, warning her to be careful that her child does not steal any money from the brewery. This was in relation to bringing her 6-year-old kid to work one day when there was an issue with childcare, and telling her she has not struggled enough to be black. She also claims, that she was looked over for promotions and stuff like that. The one difference I see in this that I don't remember from 2019, could have come out later when we weren't really talking about it anymore, but another taproom manager basically said everything she is saying is correct. He had also witnessed all of this happening, not to him, but to her. And he heard the comments made by other managers, like, not in front of her face, and basically saying, like, the optics of having a black manager, which is what she was made. She was a manager, but without any managerial responsibility. They gave her the title of manager, apparently did not give her the pay, apparently did not give her any of the, like, responsibilities, like the supervising and the training and stuff like that, and basically just made her work as a server instead. And this other manager, taproom manager, says, yeah, I've heard them directly say it was an optics. Like, this is good for us from an optics standpoint. Founders released a statement on Tuesday, May 2nd, that said the company is deeply saddened to learn of the accusations and said it was unaware of the filing when it decided to close the Detroit taproom. Obviously, everyone's going to call bullshit on that. I'm sorry, but the chance of a coincidence happening with this is very unlikely. So just another reason to not drink Founders anymore, because clearly they don't give a fuck. If it's easier to just close an entire tap room, putting, you know, I think it was like 38 people work there, you put them all out of work because you can't get people, you can't just actually let go the people who are causing all the issues. Like, this is a known problem, and instead of fixing it, you're just shutting things down. Just another reason not to give money to Founders at this point. Sad to see. This is, to be honest, this is one of the reasons I kind of stopped doing the podcast, because it became an issue of, man, there just wasn't much fun to talk about back in 2018, 2019. It was just all this, and now we're getting back into it, and it's just like, you know, between this and Bud Light, it's like, for fuck's sake, like, can we just not be shitty people? Is it really that hard to just not be a shitty human being towards other people? And for literally no reason, it blows my mind, all of this shit. Because I cannot fathom being an asshole like this to anyone. And to walk around saying things like this and treat people this way, like, I don't get it. And then to have a company just not even put their foot down and put an end to it, or, you know, at least remove the people causing the issues. You instead wait for these other people to resign, because it's easier to let them walk away than to maybe replace your entire workforce, because there's all these people causing issues. You know, it's easier for one person to walk away than to have to replace 2, 3, 4 people who may even be higher ups in that company. Just bullshit. Just straight bullshit. It will not be a sad day whenever Founders finally folds because of all this, because eventually something is going to happen that they're going to be liable for, and it's going to run them. And, you know, this is twice now. It just, you see the pattern. Eventually this is going to escalate to something else, and, you know, it'll never be good for Founders. So hopefully they get their shit together and just change their business practices on who they're hiring, who they're keeping, stuff like that. Let the good people actually work. Stop employing such shitty people and keeping them employed. I just don't get it. Final topic here is around Indiana. So we have a few things here. We have Scarlet Lane Brewing's 9th anniversary party. That is on May 13th. You can also get Eric Blood Axe on that day. If you've never had Eric Blood Axe, it is a braggot, which is like a mead beer. Amazing. Just amazing. And totally worth going that day just to get that beer. But obviously their anniversary party should be pretty good. So one of us will be there. I don't know if both of us are going to make it, but I will definitely be there that day. I've already got it booked on my calendar to show up. Moontown Brewing's 5th anniversary party is on May 20th. That's an all-day event. It is free. I think they said it's like 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. So get out there for that. And then Daredevil Brewing Company. Let's see. Dustin wrote this one. Recently, this March, January release in tap rooms and select draft locations in the city. Released, so he's talking about the Indie Premium Lager. And that's the one that he said was really good. So that one just got released. So that's kind of cool. I think it's because they got Liftoff IPA, Ripcord Double IPA, Vacation Colt. So this might be their first, it's their first year-round lager that they're going to distribute. So that's pretty cool. 12 packs are going for $16.99 at Total Wine, based on Dustin's notes. So get out there and look for that. And, you know, it's supposed to be a really, really beautiful weekend, and next week is supposed to be great weather-wise. So this will be good. Everybody can get out, not have to shutter in because it's freezing cold. Hopefully the storms stay at bay, and we can all get out and drink some good beer. Let us know what you're drinking. Shoot us photos and stuff over on Instagram. We're always curious what everybody's drinking, because I want to know what else is out there that I need to go try. The other thing I want to remind people, if you haven't listened already, this past Wednesday, we did release episode 17, and that features Chili Water Brewing's Blood on the Tracks, a Blood Orange IPA. That was a great beer. Definitely want to listen to that. If you haven't been down to Chili Water down in Fountain Square, one, get down there. Two, make sure you try that Blood Orange IPA if you haven't already. And then try some of their other beers. They make really damn good beer. This coming up Wednesday, we have a smoothie sour. You know our feelings on smoothie sours. This one is from a brewery up in Avon, New York, called Mortalis, I think is how it was pronounced. So definitely a little bit different than what we get here in from 450 or Hoosier. But make sure you listen to that. See if that one has maybe changed our tune or not. So until next week, cheers.